the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray now that you'll just touch your word. I'd like you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2, and particularly the first part of verse 1. Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not transformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This particular verse begins with the words, I beseech you therefore, which means that we have to look at the last verse of the preceding chapter, which says that it's in God that we live, that we move, and we have our being. Therefore, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So my subject this morning is a transformed life. A transformed life. Now we all know the meaning, I think, of a transformation or a transformer. Some of our children have had little toys in which they have suddenly worked some kind of system on them, and they've changed them from one thing to another thing, and it's called a transformer. And when we were children, we always used to go to, in my day, it was a place called Corky Pool, where we found frog spawn, and we took it home, we put it in a little bowl, and then we saw that the frog spawn turned to tadpoles, and eventually the tadpoles turned to little frogs. And it's the same with the butterfly, when it's in a cocoon as a caterpillar, suddenly breaks forth into a lovely butterfly. And that's what transformation is all about. It's all about becoming different to what you were previously. And Paul is saying here that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the epistle to the Romans contains a large number of doctrinal truths which are undeniably in the foundation of the Christian faith. We know that there can be no other foundation laid than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. There can be no other foundation, only Christ. And to try and to add to this foundation would only weaken it. There have been many commentaries written on this particular epistle to the Romans. For instance, this Roman epistle has been included in a number of Bible commentaries by some of the best Bible commentators that the world has ever known. People like Martin Luther and Charles Hodge, William Hendrickson, Hedley Mole, F.W. Bruce, Kevin Connor. And Romans is also included in the commentaries on the Bible by Albert Barnes and Matthew Henry and John Gill, and the Zondervan Press have a commentary as well containing the book of Romans. And why is Romans so important? It's so important because in the Roman epistle, there are so many of our fundamental foundational truths that enable us to live a good Christian holy life before God. Now, in looking closely at this verse, there are some points that are worth considering. So I want us to observe certain points that are found here in this particular verse of Scripture. And first of all, we are, first of all, to surrender our bodies to God. We are to surrender our bodies to God. We are to submit to the Lord our faculties. Faculties include the mind, speech, sight, hearing, and by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us each day means we will be living a life of full surrender to God. And so we are to surrender to God our bodies, our faculties, our members, so that God can use them in this world in which we live. The words of the apostle are, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now we know that in the Old Testament, when sacrifices were offered, the person brought the sacrifice and then the priest offered it on their behalf. But Paul is saying here, I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I want you to put your life on the altar. Not a dead life, but a living life. Because God wants you to be alive in this world. For as the Apostle Paul said, the purpose of why God separated him from his mother's womb was that so that he might reveal his son in him, that he might preach him among the nations of the world. And so it's important that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We don't bring it to an earthly priest anymore. We do not bring a sacrifice to be laid upon the altar and somebody else offer it to God for us. We are to offer ourselves. And I can't offer you on the altar for God. I can't offer you on that altar. You must offer yourself on the altar for God. And so God is wanting us to be living sacrifices laid down upon the altar for him, so that he wants to reveal himself alive in us in this world. And the Apostle Paul writes regarding our body members being subject to us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. It's important, very, very important that we submit our members, our faculties, to be used by God in this world. A life of full surrender requires the application of our will, so that we don't consume what will contaminate us and contaminate our way of godly life, that we avoid hearing what will harm, and we don't say things that will hurt. On the Damascus Road, when Paul was converted, he surrendered himself to the Lord, and he said this, he said, what will you have me to do? So on that Damascus Road, he just surrendered himself and said, what will you have me to do? A life of full surrender is the key to presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. There's a hymn with the words in it that express the full meaning of what I'm trying to convey here. It's in the old, in our redemption hymnal that we used to use at one time. And it's, the chorus of the hymn is this, not my own, but saved by Jesus, who redeemed me by his blood. Gladly I accept the message, I belong to Christ alone. Not my own, no, not my own, Jesus, I belong to thee. And haven't our worshippers led us beautifully this morning into that lovely song, Jesus be the center. And the Lord coming behind it prophetically, expressing the importance of Jesus being the center. And how vital it is that we belong to Christ, because we are not our own, we are being bought with a price. So the first thing that I notice in this particular verse of scripture here is that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they offered dead sacrifices. In the New Testament, it's a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was the priest who offered the sacrifice on behalf of someone else. In the New Testament, we are to offer ourselves on the altar for God, and we cannot offer somebody else. We can pray for them, but we can't offer them. And so the first thing I notice here is that we are to surrender to God our bodily members. The second thing is this. We are to surrender to God our future. We are to surrender to God our future. It's amazing how many people want to know what their future is. And there are a lot of people that go to a lot of places to consult a lot of people to try and discover what their future holds. And one of Colin's favourite singers from old time was Elvis Presley. And Elvis Presley used to sing a song, "I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's a secret known only to him." And I'm glad this morning that my future is secure. I'm glad this morning that my future has already been taken care of. I don't need somebody to come along to me and say, "This is going to happen to you, this is going to happen to you, this is going to happen to you." I know what the future holds. It's a secret known only to him. And I have confidence, full confidence, in the ability of God to be able to bring to pass everything that he has determined in my life, because I have surrendered my future to him. And if you are prepared this morning to surrender your future to him, I will guarantee you he will lead you all the way, and he will never ever let you down. Amen. Now, during my time as the pastor in charge of this church for 13 years, which were a wonderful 13 years, I have to admit, and that's why I'm still here, we had a choir under the leadership of Tryphena Jones. It's not here this morning. But we had a wonderful choir of about 15 or 17. And I'll tell you, it was one of the best choirs in Wolverhampton. There wasn't a choir in Wolverhampton that could move the Spirit of God amongst us like our choir used to be able to. But they used to sing a song in which the words were, "My life is in your hands." And that song always brought a blessing, always brought an anointing. "My life is in your hands." And this morning I feel it's so important that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We present our bodies to God. We present our future to the Lord, because we want him to take control of everything in our lives. Now, when Paul was converted in Acts chapter 9, we read the words of Ananias concerning him. Ananias had spoken to the Lord and said, "I've heard a lot about this man. He's a troublemaker. He's caused a lot of trouble among the Christians." And the Lord said this to Ananias, this: "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he's your chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.' Now then, by following Paul's life from his conversion to his imprisonment in Rome," which can be read in Acts chapter 9 to Acts 28, "you will find the history of his life following his conversion. And in these chapters, you will see how God ordained every step of his life." When he was converted, he was introduced to the apostles in Jerusalem by a man named Barnabas. And following this, Saul, or Paul as he became, went back to his own native place, which was Tarsus. And Barnabas went to Antioch in Syria. And whilst he was in Antioch in Syria, the Spirit of God moved him to go and search for Paul. And he went to Tarsus, and he brought Paul back to Antioch in Syria. And in Antioch in Syria, they were praying, they were fasting with certain teachers and prophets. And the Lord said, "I want you to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And if you follow from Acts 13, Paul's missionary journeys, how the Lord led him and Barnabas on the first missionary journey, how the Lord led Paul and Silas on the second and third missionary journeys, and how the Lord led him all the time. Even when Paul himself wanted to go into Bithynia, the Spirit of the Lord said, not at this time. And so he surrendered his future to the Lord. And eventually Paul was led step by step all his life until the day the Lord called him home. And I think it's very, very wonderful because instead of him being a persecutor of Christians, he became a preacher of the gospel and a missionary extraordinary. And he was an extraordinary missionary because wherever he went, he proclaimed the unsearchable riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did he do that? He did that because he had surrendered his future to the Lord. And my appeal to you this morning and my exhortation to you this morning is to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, to present your bodies to God, to present your future to God. Let him take control of the affairs of your life. And I'll tell you, he will never, ever let you down. Psalm 27 and verse 23 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Somebody has said not only the steps, but the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But I want to say this morning, what powerful words these are. The steps of a good man are securely fixed. The steps of a good man are securely fixed by the Lord. And Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." I urge you, says Paul. My desire is for you that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, or it's the logical thing to do, to present your body as a living sacrifice. So the first thing is that we are to present ourselves to God physically. We are to present to God our future, because it's a secret known only to him, and he knows what the future holds for you. And if you'll put your hand in the van of Galilee, he will lead you every step of the way. He will never ever lead you into a cul-de-sac. He will lead you round and round and round and will never ever let you down. It's a very great verse, this. And I'm only touching a fraction of it. But then, first of all, then, we are to surrender to God our bodies. Secondly, we are to surrender to God our future. Thirdly, we are to surrender to God our own ambition. We are to surrender to God our ambition. That hurts. It might hurt you this morning, but God wants you to surrender your ambition to him. The Apostle Paul, who penned the words exhorting us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, knew what it was to abandon his own ambitions. He mentions during the defense of his conversion in Acts 22 and verses 3 and 10, and this is what he says, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said. Go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. Isn't that terrific? Get up and go. It'll be told you everything that I've assigned for you to do. The problem with Paul's initial ambition is this, that his initial ambition took him away from God. It was his ambition that he had to lay on one side. It was replaced by a new ambition. An ambition in which he sought only to please the Lord. In Philippians 3, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press to those things which are before. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul let go of his own ambitions. And I wonder this morning, how many of you here are prepared to let go of the ambitions that we have and lay them down on the altar for God? If your personal ambition is detrimental to your spiritual life, that is, if it places God secondary to everything that you do, your all is not on the altar for God. Let me repeat that. If your ambitions place God secondary to everything that you do, your all is not all on the altar for God. Therefore, you will miss out on God's best. And God wants you to have the very best. But you must place on one side your own ambitions in order for the Lord to become first in your life. And when the Lord becomes first in your life, everything in your life, ambitions and everything else, all fall into place. And the Lord doesn't want to rob us of joy, doesn't want to rob us of peace and enjoyment, but he does want you to experience the best in life. And the best in life that you can have is in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And so it's so important this morning to realize the value of placing everything on the altar for God. It is amazing how many are unwilling to put what they want on one side and use an excuse to justify what they are doing. Self-ambition is more important to some than putting everything on the altar for God. In Matthew 8 and 19 to 21, it says this, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son hath nowhere to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Notice the words, suffer me first. Suffer me first. It's the I that comes first. Before I'll follow you, let me do this. Before I'll go here or there for you, Lord, I want to do this first, and then I'll follow you. Let me do this, that, and the other, but let you take second place, Lord, in my life. But let me tell you this morning, if you want the best out of your Christian life, you've got to lay everything on the altar for God. If you don't lay it all on the altar for God, then you won't get the best out of your Christian life. I will guarantee you that. And that's why a lot of Christians struggle. They struggle in moving forward in their Christian faith. So it's important that you place on the altar everything for God this morning. We all have at one time or another aspirations and dreams. I had aspirations and dreams for this place when I was the pastor here. My aspiration and dream was that we had a great conservatory where our foyer is. And we had a great big conservatory out there with tables and chairs, and people could come in and have coffee and enjoy. But I never saw it fulfilled. But it was my dream. It was my aspiration. But if these things take the place of God in one's life, then the Lord is becoming secondary. So it's important that we need to rethink regarding the future we want to have. Think about what future you want to have this morning. Do you want a future that's really blessed of God? A future that really knows that anointing of God on your life? Then you've got to surrender to God your life. You've got to surrender to God your future. You've got to surrender to God your ambitions. And how important that is. Now this might seem odd, might seem difficult, but if you want the best, then that's the only way. And in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you." What type of Christianity do you want? What type of Christianity are you seeking? What type of life do you want to live? One that serves God, or one that's full of your own self-importance and your own self-ambitions? This might seem odd for me to say this morning, but my desire is that everybody who is a Christian gets the best out of their Christian life. Let me tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed my Christian life. I would not change a thing about my Christian life one iota, because I place everything on the altar for God. And God has blessed Sheila and I as we embarked in Christian ministry in our young days. When we were very, very young, we laid everything on the altar for God. And God has led us all the way. And God has never, ever let us down. And you all know the story of how, after 2 years, we were coming up to have no place where to live after I had retired. And how the Lord provided the fabulous bungalow that we're now living in. How that £140,000 was put in our hand to buy a bungalow. And we did it because God led us every step of the way. And if you want God to lead you every step of the way, you've got to do those three things that I've mentioned this morning. You've got to surrender to God your body. You've got to surrender to God your future. You've got to surrender to God your ambition. And I pray this morning, as I have shared this little word with you from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that it will have spoken into your heart and into your life. Because I want you to have the very best that God's got for you. He's given the very best to me. And I must confess this morning that the Lord has spoilt me. And because he is no respecter of persons, he will spoil you as well. But you must do those three things. Present your body. Present your future. Present your ambition. And lay it all on the altar for God. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. I